Welcome, ladies, to Women's Voices. Today we have with us Chris Frew, Coordinator of Elder Abuse Age Concern. Welcome, Chris, to our program.
Thank you, Rizwan.
Chris, would you like to say something about yourself and what you are doing in this organization?
Certainly. I've been working with Age Concern for approximately 6 years now. And I am a qualified social worker, and as you've rightly said, I coordinate the Elder Abuse and Neglect Service for Age Concern Auckland.
So what is elder abuse?
There are three parts to elder abuse. We're talking about somebody who is over the age of 65. They are in a relationship with someone that they trust, and they may experience harmful physical, psychological, financial, or sexual effects caused by the behaviour of the person that they trust. If I could give you an example, Rizwan, I've been working with a woman who is over the age of 65, and she has her son living with her. Her husband is no longer with her. And her son shouts at her a lot, swears at her, treats her like she's a child. And he is also going to her purse, to her wallet, and taking money from there. Without her permission, yes. Okay. And it could well be that if she tries to stand up to him and say no, he may become quite rough, and we could then be looking at possibly physical abuse. He may hit his mum, things like that.
So that's abuse. She can come to you.
Absolutely, she can. Anyone can ring Age Concern, and our phone number is 623-0184. It's 623-0184. When you call and ask to speak with someone in the Elder Abuse Service, you can be assured that your phone call will be kept confidential. We will not talk with anybody else about our conversation unless we have your permission to do so. Other forms of abuse that we work with, Rizwan, as I mentioned, the physical abuse. There are certainly cases of financial abuse. As I mentioned about the son taking money from his mum's purse, it could well be that the older person is in residential care, living in a rest home, and the children are taking some of their money, some of their personal allowance that they receive. They're taking that so that the older person has no money to buy personal items for themselves that they may wish to have during the week. Many family members decide that they don't want to have their older relative placed in a care facility because there are occasions where the older person has to pay for their care. If they have enough finances, they have to pay for their care until they reach approximately $15,000, which they're allowed to keep for themselves. But many family members don't want their older relative to go into care because that means that their possible future inheritance they won't be able to receive. We also have cases of sexual abuse. Not too many of those that have come to our notice, but I think there are possible reasons for that. People of older generations can be very embarrassed, very ashamed, particularly in regard to issues around sexual abuse. And we also work with people who are being neglected by family members or others, and that is when the older person is not receiving the necessary care that they deserve and need. And that could well be they're not being taken to the doctors when they should be. They're not being medicated when they should be. things like that. They're not being provided with the necessary food that they require.
So if you receive a phone call about abuse, what is actually done for those people?
As you can appreciate, Rizwan, each case is very different and very unique. So if we receive a phone call, it may well be that it's not the older person that's phoning, it could be a family member that is concerned about what is happening within the family. We will talk with that family member and we will ask. We need to have the older person's permission to become involved in regards to the issues. We need to have their consent. Once we have that, we're more than happy to meet with the client, whether it be in their own home, at our office at Age Concern, wherever they feel most safe to discuss this very, very delicate matter.
So once you come to know about an issue, then you consult with the person involved with their permission.
Yes.
And then you decide the...
We'll talk about what the issues are, how it's all started, where it is now, and look at some possible options for change, what the older person themselves would really want to have happen. And we walk alongside the older person and support and advocate on their behalf.
Chris, what type of people, elderly people, have been asking for help? Can you?
Rizwan, I would say that there is no particular type. We receive calls from people that live in Remuera, which is a high socioeconomic area. We also receive calls from people that don't live in places like Remuera. It's our experience that elder abuse occurs across many cultures, many socioeconomic areas, and it happens to both older men and women.
What about the mental capacity of the person, or the mental awareness and alertness of the person who calls up? Is there any difference if somebody rings up about elder abuse to you or your organization, but the person, the victim, is not mentally alert, very mentally alert? Like, you know, they have forgetfulness, or they are not in a position to decide for themselves or to give consent. Then what sort of recourse is taken?
Okay. All people, whether they are over the age of 65 or not, all people are deemed to be what we call competent, and that is that they are capable of making decisions for themselves until it is proved otherwise. So if a family member phones me and tells me that Mum is not capable of making decisions for herself, I would like to see proof that she is no longer capable of making decisions for herself. I would suggest that we can all be forgetful at times. I can forget words at times, so that certainly doesn't mean that I am not competent to make decisions for myself. And being competent is not black and white. It's not that one day you are competent and the next day you're not. It can be a very gradual process, Rizwan. And so many people are still able to make decisions for themselves in some areas of their lives, but not able to make decisions in other areas. So we would need to have their mental competency assessed by a specialist in that area. There are many reasons why older people may appear not to be capable of making decisions for themselves. It could be that the older person is feeling rather depressed and they have not been sleeping well lately. They have not been eating as well as they used to, so they're feeling very, very tired. It could be that they have a physical illness that is draining on them. The stress from things like that. It could be that they have insufficient income to be able to purchase the food that they know that they need. So there are many, many reasons, Rizwan, why somebody may, and I use that word, may appear to be not capable of making decisions for themselves. I would say that from our statistics, most people that abuse our older people are our very own children. It's our very own children that are abusing us, Rizwan. Sons and daughters. And in the main, we're looking at things like psychological abuse. Some people would call that emotional abuse or mental abuse. I would suggest that most abuse is occurring because of a lot of stress in the carer's life, in their partner's life, and they reach a stage where just in an instant they swear, shout at the older person, they may even slap the older person, but it was certainly never meant with intent. They're very tired. They can't go on anymore. They've been up for the last 24, 48 hours with the person that they're caring for, and the stress is beginning to take its toll. We do indeed have many cases of financial abuse, and I would suggest that many people that do financially abuse our older people know exactly what they're doing. They are fully aware of the fact that they are keeping mum at home or dad at home when really they should be in care. They need 24-hour supervision 7 days a week. And as I mentioned earlier, a lot of people, because they think that they are going to not receive an inheritance because they have to pay for their parents' care, will keep mum or dad at home. Many older people are at risk or possible risk of elder abuse because of things like isolation. They're very isolated in their community. It may well be that the only person that they see on a day-to-day basis is the actual abuser themselves that may live with them. So if I could use myself as an example, I'm living at home with my son. He is my only child. Things become very stressful for both of us. Not only am I dependent on him for providing me with my cares, he may well also be dependent on me for accommodation, things like that. So that can create a great deal of stress. It could well be that my relationship with my son has been quite dysfunctional for many years. We don't communicate as well as we could or should. It may well be that my son has seen his father drink to excess and then seen his father physically abuse me. Those are the lessons that my son has learned, and he in turn would carry on with similar behaviour. It could well be that he also has substance abuse issues. It could be that he is taking drugs. It could be that he is abusing alcohol. So any of those issues can place the older person at risk of being abused. Some of the possible signs of someone being abused, I would say generally that the older person appears to be afraid. They appear to be quite anxious. As I mentioned earlier, they may not be sleeping or eating like they used to. Any sudden changes, Rizwan? It could well be the lady that I mentioned earlier. She said to me that she was so upset with the way her son was treating her that she felt that there was nothing she could do about it. She didn't want to talk with anyone about her son. She felt ashamed. She felt embarrassed. And she wondered if she did speak with someone, what would happen. Although her son was abusing her, he is her only child and her only family in New Zealand. So she decides not to say anything to anybody. And this continues. So she's not sleeping well. She's not eating well. Her stomach feels like it's tied up in knots. She realizes that she has to eat, so she is forcing food into herself because she knows that she'll become too weak otherwise. It had even got to the point for her that she thought about taking her own life. And she had even considered how she may do that. And Rizwan, that was an awful situation for her. She, up until the time that this had occurred with her son, she used to go to a social club on a regular basis, a couple of times a week. But she would wake in the morning and feel very anxious, fearful, even angry, start to cry. Her eyes would go quite red. And then she decided that she couldn't go to her social group because everybody would see that she'd been crying. And everybody would start asking questions as to what's wrong, and she didn't want to tell anybody what was wrong. Yeah, awful situation for her. There is a lot of help that is available in the community, Rizwan. In regards to that particular lady, we made contact with the mental health services for older people. And they came and assessed the situation, spoke with her and her GP, and were able to provide her with some strategies to help make her life not feel so bad. When I had spoken with her about what she would like to do about the situation, she told me she felt that there was nothing that could be done. We discussed possible alternate accommodation for her son, maybe if her son were living in a different area, different home, things would improve for the relationship between her and her son. But she said that he hadn't really lived on his own the whole of his life, and she felt that he wouldn't be able to cope. So she didn't see that as a viable option for her. When I asked if she would like to have a family meeting, she said no. She didn't feel that that was appropriate. She felt that her son would get very angry that she had discussed this with somebody outside of the family. So we were able to offer her support through this time, an opportunity for her to talk about how things had been for her, because she hadn't had that opportunity in the past. One of the services that Age Concern offers is a visiting service. And when I spoke with the client about that, her eyes brightened and she said she was feeling rather lonely and quite isolated. So we arranged for a visitor to come and visit once a week. And I often think that people that are very isolated, if people are coming into the home, the person that's actually abusing the older person is now aware that there is somebody who's just keeping a very careful eye on what is actually happening in the home. So he can't dominate his mother as well or as good as he used to do, because he is aware that she does indeed have friends. And she's building a very trusting relationship with this friend. So that is one of the services that we're able to offer. Quite often, it could well be that I may be caring for my mum, and my mum is living with me at home. My mum doesn't want anyone to do anything for her but me. She trusts nobody but me. And I am able to care for my mum for quite some time. But after time, Rizwan, I'm tired. I need a break. My mum may be up 3 or 4 times during the evening and during the night, so I'm not getting a good night's sleep myself. Maybe I'm not eating as well as I could be, and I'm very stressed, and I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go for help. I may have feelings of letting my mum down if I turn to others for assistance. But it's often said, Rizwan, that if you make things better for the person who's doing the caring, ultimately, eventually, they will improve for the older person themselves.
I agree with you, yes. It's so clear. I just had 2 queries in my mind. When you said about mental health people assessing the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's quite a lot of stigma attached to mental health.
Surely.
In different cultures. So how does, what do you mean when you say mental health, people assessing, you know? Okay. Even I'm a little bit...
I can appreciate that. Yeah. So am I. And I was talking with someone this morning and they were saying that many of our current older population grew up during the days when they saw their aunt being taken away to an asylum and they never saw their aunt again. So when your thought patterns around mental health and mental health issues come from that kind of background, I can certainly understand the fears. But the mental health services, they may, as I mentioned to you all earlier, if I talk about myself and my mum, I'm feeling very tired, I'm very stressed, I'm not coping, I'm crying all the time. Now, it could well be that I am depressed, clinically depressed. So the mental health services would be able to help me to look at some strategies, possible medication for myself, but also to advise me that there are carer relief supports available. I may not know that I could go away for a couple of days, take some time out for myself, and have somebody come and care for mum while I am away. I may not know if my mum has a form of dementia. I may not know that there are daycare options where my mum could be well cared for during the day.
Oh, are there such options available?
Indeed there are.
So what is this daycare?
Daycare is where the older person, generally daycare is placed within a residential care setting. And people that are living in the community are generally picked up and taken to the rest home and spend the day at the rest home. And they will have a number of activities that they take part in for the day. They receive morning tea, lunch, afternoon tea, and then taken home at the end of the day. So it's a different environment.
So they have a social life and
absolutely.
They're busy. That's a wonderful idea.
Absolutely, absolutely. And they're able to speak with people who are in possibly similar situations to themselves.
Yeah. That's a wonderful idea.
It is.
And can anyone, like, if either the person or the family member, they can apply for it, or where do they go for that?
Certainly. I would suggest initially that they speak with the Needs Assessment Service, which is based at Green Lane Hospital.
Okay. Needs Assessment Service.
Okay. Because for somebody to go to daycare where there is no charge, they would need to be assessed and there are certain criteria that they would need to meet.
And if they come to age concern also, they will be guided at least?
Absolutely, they will. Age Concern Auckland has many resources that are available to not only the older person but their family and friends. Again, the number for Age Concern is 623-0184 and we're based at 540 Mount Eden Road in Mount Eden. Our office hours are 9 to 4 and anybody is more than welcome to come to our office, look at all the resources that we have and take some information away with them.
So if they have any problem with aging or they are in doubt, then too they can give a call to Age Concern and at least get their ideas cleared.
Absolutely.
Ask for guidance.
Surely. And if it's not a service that we offer, we can certainly point them in the right direction to receive that advice and support. Rizwan, many older people that we work with are being treated probably like children, by their very own children. The children think that mum or dad is slow now. They're not making very wise decisions. And it's time I took over. I'd just like to conclude with a poem that highlights how it's not always easy to see things from another person's point of view. And this poem shows how an older person sees another generation. And the poem is called My Children Are Coming Today. My children are coming today. They mean well, but they worry. They think I should have a railing in the hall, a telephone in the kitchen. They want someone to come in when I take a bath. They really don't like my living alone. Help me to be grateful for their concern and help them to understand that I do have to do what I can as long as I can. They are right when they say there are risks. I might fall. I might leave the stove on. But there is no challenge, no possibility of triumph, no real aliveness without risk. When they were young and climbed trees and rode bicycles and went away to camp, I was terrified, but I let them go, because to hold them would have hurt them. Now our roles are reversed. Help them see. Keep me from being grim or stubborn about it, but don't let them smother me.
I'm moved to tears because I'm a mother. I can see.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Chris.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
It's a privilege having you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, listeners, for being with us. I hope you have enjoyed this session. Remember to tune in next Thursday, 3:45 p.m., Planet FM 104.6. Bye for now.